Gentlemen, welcome to class number 86 of the Ramp to the Highway of Success course for young men. I am Daniel White, the third chairman of the National Association to Save Young Black Men. I am your instructor for this course and the author of the Essence National Best-Selling Book, Letters to Young Black Men. We are using that book as the text and its study guide to guide you through the course. The study guide was developed with the help of Jamie McCallum, MDiv, Truett Theological Seminary, Charles Garrett, MDiv, Southwestern Theological Seminary, and now my son Daniel, the fourth, and now my youngest son Daniel Ezekiel White, who is in his third year of college. My son Daniel the fourth graduated from college. And we give God the glory for all of that. This course is for all young men, but especially for young black men and young men of color who oftentimes have a difficult journey in this life and in this great country called America. I call this class the Ramp to the Highway of Success, because my goal is to get you on the ramp and point you in the right direction. As a man, as a young man, you ought to be able to make it from there and be very successful. In other words, out of respect for you as a young man, my job is to get you on the ramp and point you in the right direction, not to tell you all of the details once you get onto the highway of success. With God, my dear friend, you can do great things for the glory of God. I am a living witness. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace towards all of us. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And I pray that you will have continued mercy and grace upon us all as men. We're not perfect beings, as you know, and for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Those things that we can make right, help us to make them right. Where we need to repent, help us to repent. And Lord, I do pray that you would crucify our pride in our flesh and fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit to change from the inside out and be what you would have us to be. For your glory, praise, and honor, Lord, even though we may go through tribulations and toils and snares, as we come out of the wilderness, Lord, help us to come out with a high hand, and Lord, when we come out on the other side, help us to be victorious. For you're victorious, and you want us as men to be victorious in every area of our lives. We pray that you'll have that to come to pass. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Gentlemen, the lesson today is titled On Your Relationship with Your Mother, Part 3. In closing this letter, let me kindly say, respect and love your mother. Listen to your mother as I have just delineated, but remember that God comes before your mother. That may be obvious, but from my role as a minister, I've learned that that needs to be said, especially for men, young men. You must cut those apron strings completely. Now, notice what Jesus had to say about this matter in Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Sad to say, many black men have almost denied God's word and God himself, to the point where their mother's word means more to them than God's word. And that is not the way it should be. At some point, dear friend, in a man's life, a mother has to release her son, and a son will have to let go of his mother. That is just the way God designed for things to be, no matter how difficult and painful it may be for some of you. For some of you, you never had a father, and your mother's all you have. Yet you must love her, respect her, but let her go. And she must, and you must, she must let you go, rather, and you must insist that she lets you go. I share these simple truths because so many young black men have allowed their relationship with their mother to hinder their relationships with their wives and children. They have allowed their relationship with their mother to hurt their finances. They have allowed their relationship with their mother to affect them when they are making major decisions in life. This ought not so to be, to borrow a unique putting together words by the Apostle James. To help us have the proper, healthy relationship with our mothers, we must come to Jesus. Jesus is the best example of how a man should relate to his mother after he is grown. Now remember, Jesus as a boy submitted himself to his father, stepfather, and mother. And that's what you should do as a boy. But when you become a man, and you submit to God only. By the way, you don't submit to your mother, you don't submit to your wife, you don't submit to your daughters, you don't submit to anybody else except for God, unless you're working for somebody. Now notice with me three principles that should guide us as grown men in relating to our mothers. Number one, while Jesus was living under his parents' authority and roof, he submitted to their authority, even though he was and is God. This goes back to the principle of authority. Notice Luke chapter 2, verses 49 through 51 from the Word of God. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Number two, when Jesus became grown and his mission in life was taking shape, his relationship with his mother took a marked turn. It had to. Jesus, being a man, took a more leadership position over his mother, and his mother took on a more supportive and encouraging role. Now, it appears as though Jesus had to lovingly say and do some things to help his dear mother see this change in their relationship. For Mary, like all mothers, struggled with seeing her baby slipping away from her motherly grip. Jesus had to strategically help his dear mother understand that there was a major shift, a major change taking place in their relationship. And please notice, as a side point, that these two statements were made publicly. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50 says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." John chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servant, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Gentlemen, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue lessons in this class in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. I pray for these young men to, if they have not truly believed in you, help them to hear the gospel right now and believe in you and get saved. If they are believers in you, Lord, help them to take heed to your holy word and do it for your glory, praise, and honor, no matter how difficult it may be. By your grace, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
In closing today, dear friend, you might recall I said in the past, and I'll say it again, Tony Dungy, the first black coach to win the Super Bowl and the host of NBC's Sunday Night Football, said, "You are never going to get anywhere in sports or in life until you become convinced of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may become a professional athlete or have fame and nice cars and nice houses and a lot of money, but what you'll find is that all of that stuff goes away pretty quickly. You have to understand that Christ died for our sins and that he died not just to be our Savior, but so that he could be the center of our lives. Now, like many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family, and during that time I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people I grew up around said being saved was back then, especially in my community, is wrong according to the Bible. I wrote an article about it titled On Being Saved in Black America, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website at gospellightsociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is. First, understand, dear friend, that you need to be saved because you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, understand that a horrible punishment, that is, eternal hell, awaits those who are not saved. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus Christ said that God will say to those who are not saved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Third, realize that God loves you very much and wants to save you from hell. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want to be saved from hell today and be guaranteed a home in heaven when you die, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. Simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead for your sins and for mine and the entire world's. And then call upon him in prayer and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If he can save me, he can save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Dear friend, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll see you for our next class. God bless you.